Holy shit, it's True Crime Tuesday. No one has bailed me out yet. I am still in jail. Luckily, I have a really great attorney. Not only was I able to obviously do a true crime podcast with my ex-wife, forced to do it, but I have been allowed as a condition of my bond to pay more money, but also do the podcast live from jail. So I'm in the booking office at jail. Hopefully, I will be bonded out soon. We're going to do a case of true crime. This just shows you how much I love you guys that no matter how many indictments I have pending, I will do this show for you. So it's True Crime Tuesday.
The growing calls across the nation to defund the police.
To end policing as we know it.
Off the charts violence in New York City. 11 people shot in just 8 hours on Sunday.
This is about the police officers who every single day put on that uniform and they run towards danger when we run away from it.
Guns up, giddy up, Wolfpack. It's Failure to Stop True Crime. It's the best podcast on earth. This is the Tuesday edition. I'm John. I'm a former 911 dispatcher in all likelihood. I'm joined, as always, by the once and future police officer, Kendra. Kendra is a former sheriff's deputy somewhere in America's Wang. I'm in jail in Detroit. So today we're going to bring you a case of true crime. And we bring
Did you say Detroit?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, okay.
I came out here for the draft and it didn't go well. Anyway, skipping past me, today we're going to do a case of true crime. And what's different about our podcast is that we bring you an inside view. Like, I'm literally surrounded right now by, there's a guy over there who's, that guy's getting the electric chair later today. He doesn't look like he's in a good mood. I'm just kidding. They're going to jump me into a gang after this, so I'm excited about that. I'm excited to be in the as part of the gangster. We're gangster disciples, right? Yeah, he's doing some sort of GD thing.
He's doing push-ups.
Yeah, he's doing the thing where he's hanging like from a ridge of a bar overhead. And man, he's got those abs. Kendra, how are you doing? You're not in jail. You just recently went on a nice vacation. How did it go out there for you? Did you have a good time?
I did have a really nice time. I got some sun. I'm a little sunburnt right now, if you can't tell, because I was outside for more than 10 whole minutes.
You look like a lobster.
I burn literally in the vehicle if the sun is facing directly at the windshield and I'm driving into the sun for more than 10 minutes. I will burn through the windshield.
When we were married and we would drive the car together, it used to scare the shit out of me because I'm a bad driver. So she would say, well, I'm going to drive and I've had the Evoque driving and all this. So she would put up that foil thing in the windshield that like is designed to keep your interior nice. And then she would, with a huge butterfly knife, she would cut a hole in it. And then she would put those eclipse glasses in there. And that's how she would drive the car. And of course, I can't see anything the whole time. It scared the shit out of me. But I've never gotten into a car accident with Kendra, and I've gotten plenty of my own. So to show you that Kendra was always right. The counselor said it. Kendra's always right. And I guess it turned out to be that case.
I've been in one accident, and it was really bad. So I got all of my accident stuff out of the way in one shot. I'm just a good luck charm.
She was just one super accident. Kendra, what's going on with you other than your vacation that proves that you're a normal, ordinary person and not just some fake made-up AI bullshit?
I almost don't even have anything for you this week, John, because I've done absolutely nothing. I went on vacation and it sucked all the life out of me while I was on vacation.
You feel tired from being in the sun, I'm guessing?
That and also just being around people, which I chose to do. But there are some characters in St. Augustine. That's where I went. Mm-hmm. And a homeless man called me gorgeous, so I've peaked. It's time to be done with life now. It's not going to get any better than that.
My last interaction with a homeless man was that he stopped me from overparking and cracking my fender on the curb. And then I said, thanks, man. I really appreciate it. And he goes, well, that's got to be worth something. And then he was mad that I gave him a Subway gift card.
That's a great find for a homeless person.
That is, yeah.
Free food.
Yeah. I think he wanted cash. I think he wanted that booze or something.
Yeah, probably. That's usually what they use their money for.
Hmm. Yeah, he did not learn his lesson that day. So anyway, I'm glad they had a good time. You certainly deserve a vacation. From what, you know, who knows? Well, I mean, like, what has your life
what
been?
A
like,
backhanded compliment. Jeez.
Sorry. I mean, your life is like looking at like popcorn on the ceiling and eating glass out of your yogurt. It seems like, and now that I'm gone, it seems like the life that you always wanted. So it's hard to know.
It's hard to try to be a human. You know, it's hard work.
I'm glad you're able to de-stress a little bit. Hopefully I'll be on vacation soon. For me, maybe being in prison will be something of a vacation. But hey, you know, I got to go get a rain here before too long. So let's get on with the show. Folks, the show is brought to you by GhostBed. GhostBed's a wonderful company. They don't supply anything here at the Wayne County Jail. But
we're never going to do an ad read that's serious ever again.
I may not be doing any more ad reads after today. You know, we're going to see how it goes.
Okay.
GhostBed's a wonderful company. Go to their website. Use the offer code WOLFPACK. That's what we give to you, our listeners. You could save up to 40 to 50% all across the site. They have adjustable frames, mattresses, everything you as a free person needs to enjoy a good night's sleep. To enjoy a good night's sleep, need to stay awake all night long with a shiv protecting myself. That's the only way I can enjoy a good night's sleep anymore. Also, you know, the dreams, obviously. But go to the website.
The ghosts that scream at you at night in the corner.
Code Wolfpack, 0% financing, zero bond. Even if you have Brian Coe credit, you can go over there and get a great deal on a mattress. We appreciate them. Factor meals also not being served in the chow hall tonight. Use Wolfpack 50. That will get you 50% off. Man, I wish I had a postal address. I don't though. After today, I'm definitely, it's whatever the street is. And you're going to have to like put my inmate number on all my mail for me to get anything. And I'm guessing that I won't be able to receive them. But you free people can go out there and use the Wolfpack 50 discount code on the Factor Meals website. Think about it. When you leave your job, being a police officer, firefighter, dispatcher, whatever, you can go out there and face the throng of humanity at the grocery store and enjoy all your freedom to walk around, to leave, to go home. Go to your own fridge. God, all the little things that you take for granted. Anyway, you can have Factor Meals delivered right to your house. Over 300 options. Whatever you like, you get to choose. It's not just going to be ground beef and like gravy and like yellow gravy. Like here, it's like there's Pizza Joe and it's really a combination of colors here, Kendra. It's like, are you ready to have brown on gray, gray on gray, brown on brown, brown on gray? The situation here with the food is not that great, although it is it is relatively free to be. Anyway, for you free people, go to Factor Meals, use the discount code WOLFPACK50. You'll save 50% off in your first week. It's a discount you can't ignore. We appreciate them supporting Failure to Stop. Also, the wellness company. Guess what? You're not dependent on government health care. You don't just have to eat the pills the nurses pulls out of the med cart and says are yours, even though you've never had these pills before. And if you don't eat them, you're going to be on disciplinary. They keep me from screaming. That has to be a side effect. I don't know that there's such a thing as a pill that keeps you from doing that, but I can't call for help in the night ever since I started eating these pills. Anyway, free people can own your wellness, your health, and your freedom. God bless it with the wellness company. Get well and stay well with solutions designed by top doctors. Melatonin to help you in your sleep. Immune support, daily essentials for your mind and energy. Digestion, metabolism, and you can get prescription meds. You can stock up before the next emergency. Medical kits, first aid kits, contagion kits. Get a membership. You can get break free from Big Pharma altogether with a wellness company. You can use Wolfpack and you get 10% off. We appreciate them. Also, what is the thing they need for you? If you're going to send stuff to Kendra, put it in a box, send it to P.O. Box 1060 DeLand, Florida. P.O. Box 1060 DeLand, Florida 32724. Kendra, you promised me last week that you would open up your P.O. Box and live on the air anything that you have. Did you get a chance to go over there? Or did you lie to the people the way that you lied to me every day of our marriage?
I did not lie. I did go. I have not received anything yet, but that's okay. because my rent is still good for the next month. So if you have something, you better hurry up and send it.
Are you going to cancel the P.O. box if you never receive anything?
No. Well, if I never receive anything, probably, but it's just something we tried out because I've had a couple of people ask if they can send me stuff and, you know, we'll see.
Not working out.
Well, if you want to send me stuff, send it now so that I have a reason to keep the P.O. box.
Guys, Kendra's very likely to wind up on my phone list and be sending me commissary. So if you wanted to send her money so that she could fill up my commissary, that would be good.
And you can get a bunch of Zaps chips because they have those in prison.
They do have Zaps chips, yeah. that's like right now the sole upside. Also, if you have any true crime cases, if you wanted to send them to Kendra, you have to send them to her because I doubt I'm going to be able to be doing the show next week. Send them to truecrimedrama@gmail.com. That's truecrime, JRAMA@gmail.com. And you send her a case. First of all, make sure it's a good one. And so don't do Michigan v. Bates. too soon. Don't do that one. Whatever one you said, make sure it's interesting. Make sure that Kendra could talk about it for an hour. And send her some kind of source. Don't send her like you know, some email that just says the Muskegon massacre and there's no other information there. She won't be able to make anything out of that. She's just a patrol deputy. She wasn't a detective or a dispatcher. So there's not much she could do with that. So please send her as much information as possible. Do your due diligence so she doesn't have to. That's what road deputies like. They like all the information just already there on their CAD screen. So you can go ahead and do that by sending that to her at an email. We appreciate it.
I've been getting some good ones, so keep it up.
Yeah, keep it up. Also, Tansy's thing, We Defy Foundation, they provide combat veterans with coping skills for their disabilities with their stuff that happened to them in the war. That gives them a chance to get a little revenge on Saddam or whatever. They can roll around on the mat and picture their opponent as the guy that blew up their friend, you know, and they can really take it out on each other on the mat. Well, whatever. I don't know what it is, but just go over there. You go to WeDefyFoundation.org. And for all the super chats that you leave on this channel, you can, if you leave WeDefy in the little comment section, all that money is going to go to the WeDefy Foundation. Some of the money goes to YouTube, but we're basically going to cover that. So just go ahead and send it on over to us. Kendra, we're, you know, this being our last show together, I'm a little sad, but I'm going away for a long time.
What did you do, John? Can you talk about it?
They said any podcast I make may be used against me in a court of law. So, you know.
Oh, I forgot. That is a clause in the Miranda rights.
Well, if it's a statement against interest, why wouldn't it be able to be used against me?
Okay, John, I was just trying to do a joke.
I'm saying my lawyer's right here and he's shaking his head. No, don't say anything. So
don't say anything.
Jesus, Steve, why don't you calm
is
down?
Is he in jail with you? That's not a good lawyer.
He's, what do you mean? We are in the courtrooms over here. Okay, so I'm literally.
Oh, you're not in your cell.
I'm not like in the cell. No, okay. We're waiting to go in there. So.
Oh. Okay.
Sorry, there's a lot of gallows humor in here. Steve is here with me, my attorney. Steve is annoyed that I'm doing this, but I think he's worried that I won't be able to afford his retainer because, like, again, part of my bond conditions that we're negotiating is that I get to do this podcast, but I get to pay a lot more to get out of jail. And again, this doesn't resolve the criminal matter, right, Steve? Like, I still have to, yeah. So I still have to come back and, like, pay for what I've done is what Steve told me, which is scary.
Steve is our divorce attorney as well, and my current lover and husband.
Oh, so Steve.
You're screwed.
God damn it. If only I knew some way to look for another lawyer. Anyway, I have to stay focused, not only on this podcast, because I am paying a big price for this, but also because right now Steve is my only hope. Like I said, that guy's getting the electric chair, but we're in line, so anyway. God damn it.
I can't.
Yes, we're going to talk about Donald Klein today, somebody who's actually worse than me.
We're going to do a couple. We're going to try. We've got some cases on the docket, and I don't know if we're going to get to them all, because a couple of them, we're going to just do some lighthearted commentary on these terrible people and their horrible decisions. But we're going to start with Donald Klein.
So have you seen the Netflix documentary, Our Father?
I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, you got to watch it. It's so good.
Which I need to. I'll watch it tonight.
So there was a lady. What was her name? Jacoba Burnett. Remind me your last name. Burnett?
I believe so.
Look it up. You have access to the internet.
We are a very well-informed and well-researched podcast.
Anyway, well, she's looking it up. Guys, I don't normally do a podcast from jail. Please cut me a break. So she went over to 23andMe, as one does, to see if she's possibly related to the Golden State Killer. I think that was, there was a huge explosion after that. And unfortunately, she did not get related to one of the most prolific killers and rapists in California's history, but she did get related to one of the most prolific fathers in the history of Indiana. Donald Klein was a fertility doctor. He's been practicing for a long time. How old is he now? He's got to be up in his 70s now. He's retired. He's a retired physician.
He's like 78 or something.
He's up there. He's a retired physician. And so she started getting all these little notes on 23andMe, like, hey, you have a bunch of half siblings. And so she had gone to her mom's and she goes, you know, what's up with this mom? And her, you know, she had known that her mom was had gone to a fertility clinic. Well, she had looked up this lady on Facebook using her email address, and all of a sudden it's just like, oh yeah, you're one of them. You're one of Klein's millions, you know.
You're one of us.
You're one of us. So all of a sudden, this group of people started coming together, realizing that they were all related. And so this Netflix documentary, which has caused quite a kerfuffle in many different ways, talks about how she figured out that she has all these family members, and that over the course of many, many, many years, and you'll have to look up how many years since you have access to the internet there, and you're not being mean mugged by the gangster disciples. you're going to have to figure out exactly how many years he was practicing, but basically what Dr. Klein would do, and this is truly sickening, is that he would get women in his clinic, and I guess he had a reputation as something of a miracle worker, you know, the women that couldn't be impregnated by other means, he was the guy who could get it done, because Dr. Klein himself is super virile, if the statistics are anything that we have to go by. So the women had a couple different options. They could take the sample from their husbands or their significant others, their, you know, the person that they would want to have a child with, or they could get a discrete sample from a willing donor, a medical student or something. These samples from these medical students, they're only supposed to be used 3 times. The reason for that is that you want to avoid this exact situation, right? You don't want this small town in Indiana to all of a sudden like be flooded with a whole new generation of people who are all like siblings.
You don't want them
like meeting and falling in love. And actually, when you watch this documentary, you find out that 2 of these people had a romantic relationship I think that they were dating. I'm not sure that they ever, you know, had relations, but then they found this out, and they're obviously like, well, we're just going to be close friends. You know, there's really no way that we can continue with this because it's horrifying. This is just,
that's pretty obviously sad. I mean,
yeah, because like they, you know, they're trying to find love, and like all of a sudden, like they have to be really, really careful about where they're looking to make sure that they're not like looking inside their own family. But anyway, so all these people in this community are finding out that they're all related. I think Klein now has like something like 98 documented children.
Yes.
And like people are still figuring it out and still coming forward. Like as of the documentary, like they finished the documentary, and then like then at the very end, they like put a piece of text on there and like, this is the last thing we're adding to the documentary. Like this is how many it currently is. Because throughout the production of the documentary, they just kept finding out more and more people who he had inseminated. It's really interesting because like, what's the psychology behind this? Why would you do this? To me, it's like got to be a power thing. Like if you think that you have the power to create life, that you have the power to take this into your own hands, that he, you know, we talk about it all the time, like playing God. I think that he enjoyed playing God and feeling like he was fostering all these children. At one point, when Jacoba is trying to investigate these things and she's talking to the Attorney General of Indiana and she's talking to a news reporter to kind of break the case wide open, she confronts him directly about it on the phone. They've recorded all these things, these conversations where he admits to doing it. Mm-hmm. He says, you know, I've done this a few times. I did this 9 or 10 times, which classic narcissist, you know, once he's caught, he's sorry that he's caught. And then he admits to something, but he doesn't admit to the entirety of it, right?
He's going
to
downplay it. Yeah.
He doesn't want it. Yeah. He wants to minimize. He doesn't want to be held accountable. And he goes like, I would really appreciate it if you would keep this out of the news because, you know, me and my wife of 52 years, which why is this always the case with like Dennis Rader and all these people who are like, who are, have this like insane double life. They've always been married for like a really long time. It's like they need the stability and comfort and reassurance of this relationship that they have. It almost makes them feel free or comfortable to go out and do these things because they're locked into a relationship with somebody. And so anyway, he's like, you know, I would appreciate it if you would keep this out of the news. And, you know, this is going to hurt a lot of people. And my wife considers it adultery and it's going to be hard on our marriage. Can you imagine like finding out some doctor is your actual biological dad? And his whole thing is like, don't tell anyone because this is going to hurt me.
I know.
Particularly when he decided to do this.
And he,
let's talk about what he's actually doing though, Kendra. Like, it's obvious, right? We're all adults here. We've all been to the zoo. That's how I found out at age 28. The giraffes. So women are going into the clinic. They have an appointment. Their husband may even be there. Dr. Klein tells the husband, like, go to town.
Deposit your...
Yeah, go ahead and deposit your withholdings or whatever it is that you want to say this. So the husband goes in there and thinks wifely thoughts, you know, thinking about his wife and passes on the generation into the sample cup. Dr. Klein takes a look at that, throws that in the trash. And then he goes back in his office and probably goes to town thinking about how good it feels to be God. creates his own sample. The old switcheroo, taking off the label, putting it on there. And then with, you know, the medical turkey baster or whatever it is that they use, he goes in there and gets the sample of his own, you know.
Sperm.
Yes.
You can and say then, it.
Well, it's going to demonetize the video.
The word sperm?
Ah, what do I care? Like, this is my last video anyway. I don't even work for
I don't think to that's anymore. True.
You don't think so?
No. If I said...
Do you run a YouTube? did you ever get sent the like the Excel spreadsheet of all the words we're not allowed to say that like is basically Tansy's script for every single episode?
No, but that would be nice to have, John.
I'm going to send it to you. Actually, you and I also violate it every single week because we're always talking about like sexual assaults and people who are attracted to people who are under the age of whatever they're not allowed to be attracted to. And we always just use the exact term for that. Kills video. Okay. You ever wonder why people are on YouTube and they're like just fixing up old cabinets and they have millions of followers and we can't even break 9,000? That's why, in case you ever wondered.
That's actually a really good point. And I also have noticed that, I know we're getting sidetracked, but Instagram has started just removing my reels without saying anything about them. I'm like, cool. Well, which I totally get because I'm the one that puts like pictures of corpses on Instagram, but... Like, it's a true crime page. There's dead bodies. I don't know. But anyway, I don't know. I can't even appeal it because they don't tell me. I just notice that it's gone.
Yeah. There is really no appeals process for you. There will be for me because we're not winning this one, are we, Steve? No. Anyway. our goal today is to just say objection as much as possible. Right, Steve? Isn't that what you said? Okay. Yeah, that's what we're doing. We're just going to object a lot. So we have lots of grounds for appeals.
The judge says, good morning. Objection.
Objection. It is clearly afternoon here, sir.
Is it really a good morning, Your Honor?
It's not good for me. I did all those things. Now I'm being held to account for it? Are you kidding me? Anyway. So what he's doing to these women is unimaginable. It's atrocious. It's immoral. It's wrong. It's like nobody could possibly support this guy. We all understand that it's terribly, terribly wrong. Here's the problem. Here's the crux of the documentary, and here's where all the phony outrage comes in, and we're going to be doing one of your favorite things, Kendra, which is other podcast stupidest takes. She beams whenever I mention that. So this fertility doctor has taken his seed and is using it to plant other people's fields against their will, against their consent, without their knowledge. People are growing up with they're finding out their families are lies to some extent. You know, in some sense, the guy that raises you is your dad or whatever, but just finding out that, you know, you're not carrying on the family is particularly when you thought that you always were. And that the person who is your dad is like this really vile, terrible person. It's really, really hurtful. This is the problem. We all know what's wrong. You don't have to have this explained to you. Our reach has exceeded our grasp, because now that we can play God, we're dealing at higher levels of morality than what our law has been written to. So, like I said, Jacoba went to the attorney general and said, you know, clearly a crime has occurred. This is so egregious. This is immoral. We would like to see Dr. Klein prosecuted. We have artificial insemination, but we don't have a lot of laws in Indiana, at least at the time when this first came out, that governed this. So what is the role of an attorney general? It's not to take it's not to take heroic vengeance for the people who are wronged in society. It's to enforce the law, to apply the law, to uphold the law, to really do law things. And where does the law come from? It doesn't come from your gut. It doesn't come from your sense of right and wrong. We're not Batman. Indiana, of all things, is not Batman. They're one of the least likely states to be Batman. Indiana's not Batman. So the problem is that when
what
the attorney
general... What state is Batman?
Probably, I don't know. What do you think?
Montana?
Probably Montana. Well, I don't know. They're doing some terrible shit out there right now with that whole forced sterilization thing. Probably Idaho. Idaho's Batman. What a weird thing to say. I'm very nervous. So anyway.
Because
I'm in jail. Yeah. So anyway. So the attorney general finds out, like, we can't prosecute him with anything. There's no crime of, like, you know, deceitful fertilization of a woman. There's no statute that says.
That's funny. I'm sorry.
Well, I like how you're the voice for womankind here, and you're the one that's laughing.
Full fertilization. Fertilization.
Well, what would you call it? Like, if a doctor uses lies and deceit to inseminate a woman, like, what would you call that statute? I mean,
I feel like this would fall under a civil suit or some sort of, like, you know, medical malpractice. Not necessarily
we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that because we've talked about the difference between civil and criminal plenty of times. Like, I'm facing both, Steve. Yes, he confirms I am facing both. He says I'm also facing a trial by combat later tonight with the Gangster Disciples. Thanks, Steve. Actually, I think Steve's on the docket after me, aren't you? Yeah. So we're in a boatload of trouble here. Anyway, so we've got those three things going on.
I'll be rooting all the day.
Yeah. Thank you for rooting for me. I appreciate that. I could use some support. So there's no crime to charge him with. And it's not that the attorney general doesn't think that he's not an morally egregious man. It's just nothing we can do. And so this brings us to other podcast stupidest takes. So I saw this one when I was prepping for the show. And at first, when I started listening to this lady, I'm like, this lady is smart. This lady is funny. And this lady knows how to edit. This lady does not know how to decorate her set. Her normal set looks like this. Like, I am clearly, like, in trouble. I am in a civil building here, civic building. She just shoots her show, which, by the way, she has a lot more followers than Failure to Stop. Hasn't spent a damn dime on dressing her set. But I'm going to talk about her take on how there's no law for this in Indiana.
Indiana State Attorney General Tim Delaney, who launched an investigation in 2015. So I guess Mr. Delaney did some digging around, and he ultimately declined to prosecute Dr. Klein for those actions because, and I quote, there is no law forbidding Klein's conduct. What? I'm sorry. What? What?
Again, where does the law come from, Kendra?
Men in robes.
Men in robes. nice try, but ultimately, no, that is not correct. The law comes from the state legislature. So, right. So where does this come from? Basically, people in the state legislature have to write laws.
Yes.
I don't know if you remember that Schoolhouse Rock thing. You were probably a little too young for that. But you get a bill. Someone takes...
Excuse me? I love Schoolhouse Rock.
Okay. Well, good.
I'm just a bill. So,
yes, I'm only a bill, and I'm sitting here in Capitol Hill. So someone has to write a bill saying, like, you know what should be legal, illegal? You know what's really wrong, and we ought to, like, say, Indiana ought to say, like, this isn't okay? A doctor, like, what if a doctor, like a fertility doctor, what if a fertility doctor, like, used his own spunk to impregnate a lady? That would be bad. But the problem is that no, this is, crime is so egregious that no one in the state legislature ever thought, you know, we ought to get proactive with these laws to make sure that no one ever, like, has a God complex and, like, for years and years and years secretly inseminates people with his own genetic profile. It's so egregious that the law has not ever to prohibit that. Right. It's so wrong. Not only that, but it's like, we can come up with laws that you can construe broadly about a lot of things. Like, a lot of things can be considered assault. Not everything can be considered assault. So you want to be able to say, well, you know, is this something like sexual assault? Is this something like just regular assault? Is this something like, you know, when you would drag people around by their hair and spitting in their throats? Is this at all similar? And the answer is that no, you have someone who's consenting to a procedure that shows mm-hmm. up that just the main element of crime in this is not the deposit of the sample or the touching of the patient necessarily. What it is the deception. So, like, this is going to be a crime by deception, and there's really no such thing as a deceptive based crime that's going to carry the kind of penalties that you would like to see for how egregious this crime is, right?
Yeah.
You're not going to have something that's really going to anything that's on the books, even if we could apply it in this case, even if you want to be like, well, we're going to set precedent and we're going to go out there and call this like theft of, by deception of an entire life or genetic, you know, family tree or something. It's not going to carry a huge penalty. So
you also have to, well, I also thought about this too, because it's the time frame that he claims that he was doing this was between the years of 1974 and 1987. So for 13 years, he was inseminating women with his own sperm. And since it's not a sexual assault, or sexual battery, even really. What would be the statute of limitations, even if you retroactively made? Because there was no law at the time of the crime, so if you put it into law and retroactively tried to prosecute him for it, what would be the statute of limitations there? Because this, it all came out in what, 2012, somewhat recently.
Kendra, you make an excellent point, because what you're talking about is an ex post facto law, and it's actually expressly prohibited by the Constitution. You cannot create a law and apply it retroactively. So even if we have a law called Klein's Law that says, like, you cannot take your own spunk and put it inside a woman while in the process of in vitro or artificial insemination and say that that's illegal, you can't apply it to him after the fact. That's prohibited by the Constitution. So Indiana state legislature can't say, well, look at what happened. We have to make this illegal and then apply those laws to Donald Klein. That's an ex post facto law. And that would be a way of unraveling society if we did it, if we just waited until some crime was committed. And then we just determined, everyone just determined, well, that's punishable by jail. Then you would be able to take anyone that anyone just didn't really like, Donald Trump, and then you would be able to say that anything he's doing is definitely, punishable by jail or the death penalty or whatever you actually wanted to do to that kind of person. So that's why those things don't happen. But you make an excellent point. Like, what would that be? So this podcaster also talks about the broad interpretation of the law. Let's let her have her say and then make fun of her for it.
Existing laws could not be made fit. What? When I tell you guys my jaw dropped, I'm not joking. Unfucking believable. How is this not a crime? I remember in the documentary, in the discussion with the Attorney General to understand how this was not some type of crime, I think it was Jacoba Ballard herself who asked, like, and I'm not positive on this, but she said something like, so if I walk up to someone and spit in their face, is that a crime? And Attorney General said, yes, that is a crime. It's assault or battery or something, whatever they said. But basically, yes, it's a crime to spit in someone's face. Okay, but it's not a crime, though, for someone to inseminate me with their male jelly without my consent.
Okay, so we need to address, we've already kind of talked about how the laws can't be interpreted very broadly here. We need to talk about this lady's attitude because she definitely surely seems like she thinks that the, like the state's attorney is like taking Donald Klein's side.
Yeah, I know.
She's got all this like phony outrage saying like, are you kidding me? That's not a crime. I'm sure the state's attorney's office is like, well, holy fuck, I wish we could go after this guy for something, but what is it? You can't just go in front of a judge or a grand jury and ask for an indictment on something and say, hey, did this guy violate Indiana state statute? Because they're going to look at that dispassionately, which is what we're all hoping for, right, Steve? Like, we don't want anyone to use emotions when we're judging the crime. Yeah, we're going to try to like not have emotions come into play at all. We're going to be looking at the letter of the law and saying the letter of the law simply doesn't fit. That doesn't mean that the Attorney General of Indiana, it doesn't mean that judges and lawyers and prosecutors all over the state aren't incensed about it. It doesn't mean that they're taking his side or saying that what he did wasn't wrong. This woman is, this podcaster is conflating basic everyday morality and confusing with the law. I think that she thinks that's the job of an Attorney General or a prosecutor to go on some sort of holy mission, and that's not their job, Kendra.
Well, it's clear too that she's confusing. Well, I say she because it was Jacoba Ballard, by the way, that's her last name. Jacoba's example that she used, well, if I spit in someone's face, isn't that a crime? Well, yeah. And she's saying, how is it different? Well, there's a reason why it's different, because the way that statute is written and the way that crimes are built, right? You have to have more than just one thing called elements of a crime. So if you read the statute and you read the statute for battery, in this case with the bodily fluid, spitting on somebody, it says, you know, the bodily fluid, there's one, it has to be bodily fluid. It has to touch the person against their will. So there's the thing right there. What's the intent? If Donald Klein, if Donald Klein told these women that he was going to give them a pap smear and then artificially inseminated them, you would have sexual battery.
Yeah, but that would be some kind of assault or something. Yeah. Because
the intention,
the body fluid was there.
Yeah. The consent for him to inseminate them was there. So that's where I think that confusion comes in. It's like, it's not the actual act of inseminating the woman that is a crime, because it isn't a crime. It's a consensual encounter. It's
She consented to that, right? It just, correct, she didn't consent to it being his, which is where the deception element comes in.
That would be like me saying, John, I want you to squirt me with ketchup. And you're like, okay, I'm going to squirt you with ketchup, but you squirt me with mustard instead.
Mm-hmm. The problem is that these laws that you want to apply, they don't involve the deception element. So that's the problem. That's why there's no law already on the books in Indiana.
It's very hard to prove that
exact thing. Right.
Very hard to prove intent on that, especially when Donald Klein gives his lame ass excuse for why he did it.
Yeah. Here she's going to find fault with victim impact statements, which usually only comes into play in the penalty phase. So usually after someone has been found guilty. So what ended up happening? I mentioned the victim impact statement. I talk about a penalty phase. Before that, we're going to see if we can find some way to make it happen. Here's her take on how the Attorney General handled the criminal charges that did come out of it.
Questionnaire, which Dr. Klein lied on, and he later admitted to Angela Gnote that he had lied. And it was only after that that the county prosecutor was like, okay, maybe we can do something now.
Yeah, so they were able to get him on lying to the Attorney General, obstruction of justice, which was a felony.
That's a crime.
So they were able to investigate him, get him to fill out a questionnaire or give him some kind of information that they were able to use for obstruction of justice. This is not the tone in her voice. She's like, okay, now we can do something. Her tone is very hateful towards the Attorney General and prosecutors in general, as though they're lazy or as if they're pro Donald Klein. They don't have the tools in their tool belt that they need. They don't have laws to enforce or to use to prosecute him. Again, it's the legislature's fault. It's society's fault for going after in vitro fertilization without laws that govern those types of things. It's society's fault for saying we're going to play God and then in the first place. I don't know how you feel about it. We don't have to like open up a bigger conversation about that. But it's like, if we're going to create life and we're going to trust other people to do it, this was always sort of inevitable. And in case in point, Donald Klein is not the only guy that has ever done this. There's cases all over the world. There's another guy, I think he might be in Scotland or somewhere in Europe, but he has quite a few cases of him doing that as well. If someone in the chats knows what that is, you have to throw that up there. But this is a case of our reach, like I said, exceeding our grasp, mm-hmm. and us not having the ability to do about it, anything about it. So what happens? The prosecutors finally get something they can get him on. They go after him for obstruction of justice. They're able to charge him and convict him of a felony, which is something. They would do more if they could, but this is all the laws that they have to apply to him. So they get him to become a felon, which is, I don't know, going to take away his right to a firearm, his right to vote. He had to surrender his medical license, which really doesn't mean anything because he was already retired. Right. But he did something. But here's the other thing. Does something else. By convicting him in criminal court, that conviction now becomes an artifact that you can take to civil court. Mm-hmm. And in fact, Donald Klein has been taken to civil court, and he has been sued by a lot of people. Here's why that doesn't matter. And here's why Donald Klein will probably not pay anything. Donald Klein was doing all of this work, as bad as it was and as much as it was malpractice, while working for his clinic, his company, his LLC, whatever it was. There's going to be malpractice insurance in there mm-hmm. that's going to cover it. The parties responsible are going to be found to be his employer. And so they're going to absorb a lot of the cost. His malpractice insurance, like I said, that's something that's going to end up driving up costs for doctors everywhere. All the good doctors that are out there that are just trying to avoid being sued frivolously and who are trying to cover themselves for human mistakes and things like that, all of their malpractice insurance is going to get more expensive because now these malpractice insurance companies are going to be paying to cover the costs and damages of what Donald Klein did. So in order to not go under as a company, they're going to be raising the amount that these other doctors have to pay for this malpractice insurance. Here's the thing. These other doctors are not just going to eat that cost. They're going to make their treatments more expensive. So who ultimately pays for it? The treatments for patients are going to become more and more and more expensive because these doctors have to pay more and more premiums to cover their malpractice insurance because of guys like Donald Klein. So the whole system gets more and more expensive. Here's another thing. In the state of Indiana, before you can go and file a tort against a physician for a malpractice case, in order to keep the cost down of torts and malpractice suits in general, Indiana has a board that you have to go through first. You have to submit your claim to a government body saying, hey, I was injured by this doctor who was working for this agency. And this board has to decide, is there even any merit to this? Does this get to go in front of a judge? Mm-hmm. Should a judge even see this? Because so many people could say, well, I got a hangnail and I got infected because this doctor didn't put bacitracin on it and my finger turned black and fell off. And, you know, and I make my money as a professional person who knits. Now I can only knit with 90% efficiency. So I'm owed all this back pay, right? Like you could actually say that, like, that was a malpractice thing that damaged your income for the rest of your life. It's obviously the silliest thing you could think of. So this board in Indiana is something that's in place to keep that from happening. So that it's a way to keep insurance costs down because we don't have, it's a way of blocking out those frivolous torts. So what happens because this board is in place, now there's an Indiana Victims Compensation Fund. So there's actually a fund already in place in Indiana that helps defray the costs of disabilities and other damages that are incurred by people who are victims of malpractice. So we said, you know, Donald Klein could be held personally responsible. His company could be held personally. It could be held responsible. His malpractice insurance could be taking a ding on that. But now we've got the Indiana Personal Medical Fund that helps people with damages. Who pays for that? The people of Indiana.
Yes.
So what you end up happening is through all these various forms of insurance and through the suing his corporation and suing all this, what ends up happening is that you never get one red cent out of Donald Klein. The money gets passed on to other consumers in the medical market. It gets passed on to the people at large because this fund that's already in place in Indiana that pays out people for these damages. That comes from taxpayer money. All these people, I don't know if Indiana has a personal income tax or however Indiana generates its revenue. Basically, all the damages that Donald Klein did that these people would want to sue him for, it's just the people of Indiana who end up paying. And you got to remember, too, that whatever you want to hold Dr. Klein liable for, this guy's in his 70s. He doesn't have an income to speak of. Even if you couldn't send it out to malpractice insurance, even if you couldn't send it out to any of these other entities or agencies, you're not going to get one red cent out of him because you can't get blood from a stone. This guy has no income to speak of. He's not a practicing doctor anymore. Whatever his savings are, aren't going to cover the existence of 98 other human beings and all their various torts. Are you kidding me? not only that, but if he has a good enough attorney who can just delay the process until he dies.
Yep. And that's probably exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah. There'll never be any justice for a guy like Donald Klein. And I honestly don't think that he gets it at all, which is the sickest and weirdest part. I don't think he understands that what he did wrong. At one point when he was talking to Jacoba on the phone, he mentions a verse, Jeremiah 1:5, where it says, you know, before your mother knew you and before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you, which is like,
that's gross.
Again, that's him thinking that he's God. It's him saying that, like, I knew you before I put you in the womb. He's putting himself in position.
Because you were in my testicles.
Yes. I thought that when they mentioned his Bible verse, I thought they were going to say something about how be fruitful and multiply, which is like a mandate that, like, you know, a lot of religious sects really go for. Like, I know that the Mormons and other things, like, even some Catholics, like, they just have a buttload of kids because they feel like that's a mandate from them by God. But God never meant for you to, through deception, create a pantheon of generations of people and lie to them. God doesn't bless things like that. I'm sure these people who were born, who had nothing to do with it, obviously God loves those people and he's going to bless their lives. But, you know, nothing that Donald Klein has done was part of God's plan. God will make good out of the evil that he's done, but it just makes me sick to think that he thinks that God's on his side about any of this. Kendra.
Yeah, he definitely does not. You said earlier that you think that he doesn't really fully understand what he did was wrong. And I agree with that because, well, he basically says that, like, when he's talking about why he did what he did, first of all, like you said, he minimizes it. He claims that it was between these years and he was working under somebody at another clinic. In the middle of that, he opened his own practice and he continued to do these things at his own practice, which is kind of crazy because if you're going to do stuff like that, like you said, you know, you're covered, especially if you work at underneath someone else because of all of the insurance. And I don't know if people understand how that works. Medical law is actually very interesting to me, which is kind of odd, but it's basically insurance. Like, your employers have insurance in case you screw something up and they want to sue you. You don't get sued. Your employer gets sued. It works the same way in the medical field. But he talks about this and he says that, well, these patients that he was inseminating were patients that had come back 3 or 4 times. They'd already failed implantation or whatever it's called multiple times. And he felt like there was something wrong with the sperm. So he said, well, I wanted to get the results because I care about my patients. And I inseminated women who, this is paraphrasing, but he basically was like, I inseminated women whose husbands couldn't produce viable sperm or whatever, because I wanted to give them something. Because they wanted a baby so bad. And I'm like,
But the thing is if you're a doctor, you know how morally reprehensible that is because you understand genetics. You understand that you can't just have a generation of kids out there. You can't have 94 kids. He also has 4 kids of his own, by the way.
Yep.
So he's got 98 children out there. I can't imagine how humiliated and ashamed his wife has to be. You know, we talked about how, like, BTK's killer and all that, how they're victims in all this. And you just have to wonder how his own family, the 4 children that he has with his wife, you know, how they're doing and how that affects them. And eventually received a 1-year suspended sentence for the obstruction of justice. I'm guessing it's because he's so old. You know, he's actually 85. He's actually quite a bit older than we thought he was. We don't want him in prison. He's probably got all these infirmities that you don't want to be paying for as a taxpayer. So I say, you know, cut him loose, let him deal with all those medical expenses on his own rather than us paying for him. Besides, there's nothing in jail that we can really do to him at his age. It really is just shocking. It is also interesting, Kendra, the people who made the Netflix documentary, Our Father, they talked about a story with him when he was a young man. They say that maybe this was part of his psychology, that at some point he was out driving around and he struck a little girl and killed her with his car. And like somehow it was the taking of that life that inspired him to like preserve or create so many other lives, like in order to pay some kind of atonement for what he did. Now, because of woke, you know, there's all these people suing the documentary because the girl in the documentary was portrayed as a white girl when in reality she was a black kid. So
why, how was she portrayed as a white girl?
Well, the documentary has like a reenactment of the girl running into the street and getting hit by the car. And the actress in that is a white kid, was a white kid. Why does it really matter? I mean, you know, the thing is that the kid that she killed, that he killed, if this is in fact true, which, you know, what's the evidence on this? I'm not sure how ironclad it is, but it's just like, yeah, we should be paying tribute to that person or whatever. But like, what does it matter how they're represented in the documentary? Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, you've got to see this documentary, Kendra.
I will watch it and I'll give you my comments on
it. You'll come back.
Yeah, that really irritates me. Speaking of really dumb things, did you have more of the podcast videos from this?
No, that's all.
I misunderstood.
I have one more. Remember how I mentioned that Steve's plan is to object as much as possible?
Yes.
I wanted to mention this last one. Thank you for reminding me.
You're welcome.
So this is another case of someone who's never spent any time in court or, you know, watched Law and Order with the sound on. You know, she's really had no idea of anything that's ever happened. She's talking about these victim impact statements.
Documentary. I remember a part, there was a clip of them being in, like, in court while all this was happening. And I believe, again, it was Jacoba. She was reading, like, a victim impact statement. She was just talking about, you know, how this experience hurt her and her family. It rocked the world, etc. Typical things that you would expect to hear from a victim in this situation. And I distinctly remember Dr. Klein's lawyer interrupting her and saying something like, that stuff is irrelevant to what Dr. Klein is being charged with now. You need to stay on topic. Those weren't her exact words, but she said something like that. And I was like,
that's how court works. It's called an objection for relevance.
Yes, exactly. If someone is up there and they're testifying about either facts not in evidence or relevance or any other number of things, somebody has to represent Donald Klein, right? And I'm sure that person is not happy to do it, but like, our whole system is based off of the idea that like you have a Sixth Amendment right to due process. That means that even Donald Klein, someone's reprehensible as him, gets a lawyer. And here's the thing. If Donald Klein's lawyer gets in there and she sees a procedural error taking place and she doesn't object to it, it can't be grounds later for an appeal. So anytime she sees an error in there, she's got to say objection. And it's not because she hates the victim. It's not because she approves of Donald Klein or she wants to say anything to Jacoba or she's trying to silence Jacoba. She's not being a bitch. She's being a good lawyer. Like I said, Donald Klein, as awful as he is, he deserves a fair trial. If anything, we want to convict him and make it stick.
Yeah.
Let's make sure that, you know, we're covering all bases. He should have a great lawyer and that lawyer should do a great job. Because if she doesn't, he automatically gets an appeal based off of ineffective counsel.
Ineffective counsel. And it happens all the time. So this is another case of, like you said, somebody that just watches Law and Order and they don't understand, because what they're doing is their frame of reference when they look at actual real life cases in a court of law in the real world, they're viewing it from the lens of an entertainment for them. It's entertainment for them because the only frame of reference or knowledge they have of this stuff is from television, and they're interpreting what's going on as from in their own mind of what they think is morally right and wrong because they're angry about the situation. And that's fine. You can be angry. I'm angry about it too. But I also understand that you can't charge someone with a crime that doesn't exist. And there are things that have to fucking happen procedurally in a court of law because it doesn't just end there. Same thing with investigations. You can't just bust down the door and arrest someone because we know they murdered him. You have to have all kinds of, you have to have all of your ducks in a row or else shit doesn't stick, because there's an appeals process and it's an aggressive one. And we should have an aggressive appeals process because it keeps innocent people innocent. But unfortunately, you can't cherry pick when it applies because you don't like the guy that committed the crime. It doesn't work like that, because guess what? You are now subject to that too. Yeah. Would you like to be charged or indicted for voting for Trump because in 25 years they're going to determine that Donald Trump was a domestic terrorist and anyone who voted for him gets to go to prison now? No.
Great example. Yeah.
So
that's something that could happen if we have ex post facto laws. It's something that could happen if you want to interpret the law so broadly that if you supported him, you know, that was an act of sedition against the country. Mm-hmm. You don't want laws that can be interpreted broadly. You want the scope of a law to cover a specific situation as much as possible. Yes. Again, our reach exceeded our grasp because our legislatures in their weirdest dreams could never imagine that someone would want to do this exact crime. Who would think to do this exact thing? Only the Donald Kleins of the world think to do this, right? So no, you have to have laws that specifically cover situations so that we don't have runaway laws. That's the other thing too, Kendra. This is one of our favorite talking points. If you have laws that just say like stuff's illegal, anything that's immoral is illegal, that's too subjective, right? Some people have different ideas of what morality is. It's unfortunate, but it's true. But you don't want a police officer just showing up and saying, I think what you did was wrong and arresting you. We want police officers to enforce the law on everyone else, enforce the law on Donald Klein. But when it comes to this podcaster that we've been having on here, she just wants the police officers to uphold her rights. And unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. Donald Klein has rights too. His rights are going to be upheld the same way that yours are. We're going to hold him responsible for the laws that he's broken. We're going to hold you responsible for the laws that you've broken. And right. If we don't have a law that covers what he did, then we just have to do the best we can going forward. We have to have legislation that calls for Klein's law or whatever that says that you can't do this exact thing. I know that some states have gone forward with laws for that, and that's great because it's going to cover these weird and terrible things in the future. But unfortunately, Donald Klein already happened and there's no one doing it. And all of your ginned up and phony outrage for your clicks and likes, by the way, is what you're trying to get. Doesn't do anything for the victims. It doesn't do anything to bring justice to Donald Klein. But it just really infuriates me because she just clearly doesn't know anything about it. Because I'll wager to say, I saw the documentary. It's been a little bit. But I don't think that there are objections during victim impact statements. I think that that's, like I said, in the penalty phase when someone gets to come up and talk about it. Normally, they've already written a letter that they're going to read into the record. The attorneys have usually already perused that, so there's not usually objections during that phase anyway. Usually, yeah. What good would an objection do during the penalty phase? Because if it's the judge that's deciding that, if the judge is deciding that, the judge is not going to be moved to change. He's already, by the time the statement's being read, the punishment's already been decided too, by the way. I believe that's the case most of the time. The victim impact statements are there so that the victims get to come in and have a say. They might be given to a judge before that, perhaps while the punishment's being decided, but it's not like a judge is going to be sitting there in the panel and all of a sudden this person's going to come up there and the judge is going to be like, what? This really got you that bad? Well, I'm definitely doubling down on it now. Like, the judge has already read your statement. The judge has already decided on what the penalty is going to be, maybe even based off of your statement. But there's no way that an objection was happening during a victim's impact statement. And again, that attorney is supposed to object as often as possible. Right, Steve? That's our goal for today. Yeah, Steve is 100% in agreement with me. You passed the bar, didn't you, Steve? He's not. Make eye contact with me. You passed the bar, right? He says not in this state. Well, some state though, right? All right. Scary situation here.
Yeah, she was that podcast lady was probably listening to testimony, which is when you can do the objections and all that. And it is so irritating to me when people don't, not knowing is fine, but refusing to do any sort of like looking into it at all or research on it at all. To me, if I read something and I have that reaction of what the fuck, my initial thought is I want to look into this because I want to know why the fuck. And that part irritates me. Just research it. All you have to do is look it up. Mm-hmm. And now you'll know why things happen the way that they happen. It's not that difficult.
The documentary was very outrageous. And I mean that in the sense of like it provokes outrage. And Donald Klein provokes that outrage, and he deserves the outrage of people.
Mm-hmm.
But just to sum it up, we don't have laws that are going to cover every situation. And unfortunately, I could see this coming now, particularly with everything that we've got going on with AI. Our reach is exceeding our grasp with AI quick. Something's going to happen criminally with AI soon. Where we won't know what to do. Can you imagine, like, if someone uses AI to, like, incite a riot or
frame you for something?
Or frame you. Like, what, you know, go watch the movie Minority Report. Like, look at all that crazy bonker shit. Like, that is 1 year away. So just get ready for that. And we don't have laws that cover AI the same way that we didn't have laws for that covered artificial insemination. That he had been doing, you know, for years and years and years and years. Our reach is exceeding our grasp all the time. And just get ready for more of this, because there's going to be more outrage. There's going to be more Netflix documentaries. There's going to be more Donald Kleins who are doing morally outrageous things. Does it involve semen? Probably. You know, I don't know. But just get ready for more of this, because the future's coming on, and it ain't what it used to be.
Very well said, John. I'm going to have an existential crisis now because of that, thinking about AI.
I honestly don't want to live too much longer into the future.
It's getting scary, honestly. Yeah. It's getting a little scary. I don't know.
That's why I'm glad that I live out in the farm in the middle of nowhere. If I ever get to see home again, he won't look at me. Kendra, did you want to do a quick ad read for Zaps Chips?
If you end up going to prison like John and you don't really know exactly what it is that you've been charged with, and you have a crack attorney that may or may not also be sentenced to serve the same time that you are.
It's called the double or nothing law. Why did we take that deal?
Yeah, you could reach out to your loved ones and tell them how much you care about them and thank them for supporting you. Or you could ask them to load up for your commissary, because you can get as many Zaps chips as you want and get as fat as you want on Zaps chips. Zaps is a New Orleans style kettle cooked chip. They come in all kinds of flavors, all kinds of beautiful bags. This one that you see on the screen now is in fact my favorite. It's the Voodoo. This is a prison staple, at least down here in the Wang of America. But you don't have to go to prison to get these. You can just go to the gas station and try not to rob it so that you can get free Zaps. Because you're going to have to pay for them in prison. They are my favorite chip, and they serve many different purposes, mostly for eating. But go get Zaps, whether a crime is involved or not. Just go eat them. They're delicious.
Yeah. They're telling me that I'm about to be dragged away kicking and screaming.
Okay.
So.
It's been nice knowing you, John.
Will you write or visit me?
Of course I will. And I'll bake you a cake with a file in it. That's what
pineapple upside down cake.
That's what all the people in TV do, right? And this show is all about things that happen on TV, so
very realistic. All right, guys, I got to get do that, and then we're probably just gonna go straight to penalty phase, I'm guessing, and then I got to get jumped in by a gang, and if I'm lucky, be put to death before 5. So
busy schedule.
Yeah. All right, guys. It's been a blast. I want to just say to my victims, I was right. I apologize for nothing. And I'll see you in hell.
All right.